Puffin presents Ballet Shoes by Noel Stretfield. Read by Janet Stretfield. Chapter 1. Great Uncle Matthew and His Fossils. The Fossil Sisters lived in the Cromwell Road. At that end of it, which is farthest away from the Brompton Road, and yet sufficiently near it to be taken to look at the dolls' houses in the Victoria and Albert every wet day. And if not too wet, expected to save the penny and walk. Saving the penny and walking was a great feature of their lives. "Gum," Pauline the eldest would say, "must have been a very taxi person. He couldn't have ever thought about walking, or he'd have never bought a house at the far end of the longest road in London." "I expect," Petrova the second would argue, "he had a motor car all his own, and he never hired anything." Gum was the quick way of saying Great Uncle Matthew. He was a legendary figure to the children, as he had gone on a voyage and not come back before any of them were old enough to remember him clearly. He had, however, been of the utmost importance in their lives. "He's been," Pauline once said, "like the stork in the fairy tale. He very nearly did bring us in his beak." Storks in the Fossil Children's Nursery were always called gums after that. Gum had been a very important person. He had collected some of the finest fossils in the world. And though to many people, fossils may not seem to be very interesting things to collect, there are others who find them as absorbing as sensible collections, such as stamps. Collecting fossils, he naturally needed somewhere to put them, and that is how he came to buy the house in the Cromwell Road. It had large rooms and about 6 floors, including the basement, and on every floor and in almost every room, he kept fossils. Naturally, a house like that needed somebody to look after it, and he found just the right person. Gum had one nephew who had died, leaving a widow and a little girl. What was more suitable than to invite the widow and her child Sylvia and Nana, her nurse, to live in the house and take care of it for him? 10 years later, the widowed niece died, but by then his great-niece Sylvia was 16, so she, helped by Nana, took her mother's place and saw that the house and the fossils were all right. Sometimes, when the house got too full, Nana would say, "Now, Miss Sylvia, dear, you must tell your uncle, not another fossil until a few have gone out of the door." Sylvia hated saying this, but she was far too much in awe of Nana to do anything else. Terrible upsets were the result. First, Gum said no fossil would leave the house except over his dead body. Then, when he'd toned down a little and realised some had got to go, in spite of his body being anything but dead, he would collect a few small, rather bad specimens and give them away. Then, after a day or two, during which he mooned round the house under Nana's stern eyes and Sylvia's rather sorry ones, a notice would suddenly appear in the Times to say that Professor Matthew Brown had given another generous gift of fossils to a museum. That meant that men would come with packing cases and take some of the most important, which often meant the largest, fossils away. Then Nana would settle down with a sigh of contentment to cleaning those places where the fossils had stood, and Sylvia would comfort Gum by listening to his descriptions of where he was going to look for some more. It was while looking for some more that the accident happened, which put an end to Gum's fossil hunting forever. He had climbed a mountain after a particular specimen, and he slipped and fell hundreds of feet and crushed his leg so badly that he had to have it taken off. You would have thought that a man who lived for nothing but fossils would have felt there was little left to do when he couldn't go and look for them anymore. But Gum wasn't that sort of man. "I have travelled a lot on land, my dear," he said to Sylvia, "but very little by sea. Now I shall really see the world, and maybe I'll be finding something interesting to bring back." "There's no need to do that, sir," Nana broke in firmly. "The house is full enough as it is. We don't want a lot carved out."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?